The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. Tishu B'Av, the ninth of the month of Av, is the time when the first Beis HaMikdash, our first temple, was destroyed, and the second by Malchus Babel and Malchus Eden, by the Babylonian kingship the first time, and by the Roman Empire the second time. V'golum me'arseinu, and we were exiled from our land, and we are still in this exile, the Golus Edom, the Roman exile. And the source of this, the sages tell us, is from the Chet HaMeraglim, the sins of the spies which were sent out to look at Eretz Yisrael. They returned on Erev Tishu B'Av, and they slandered Eretz Yisrael, and they said, we cannot go up to the land, it is too strong for us. And then the people said, let us make a new leader, and we will return to Egypt. And that night they wept, and the Almighty said, you are weeping for no reason, because you can conquer the land. And I shall make this night forever a Bechia L'Deiris, a night of weeping for generations. And from here was Nimshecho, came, called Tzoras HaGolis, all of the Tzoras of the exiles of the Jewish people. And an enormous amount of Sinas HaGoyim, the hatred that various nations had for us, was unleashed. And when we look at the hatred that nations had for us, we don't have to look too far. We don't have to look too carefully. If we were looking back into the old days or in modern times, Abraham was persecuted by the Melech Ur Kasdim, the king of Ur Kasdim, when he wanted to pronounce the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Almighty. Yitzchak was hated by Avimelech because he was jealous of him. Yaakov was hated by his brother Esav. Lavan bikesh lakar es hakol. Lavan wanted to destroy Yaakov entirely. Vayakom melech chodosh, when the Jews were in Egypt, a new king rose up, and Paro and the Egyptians enslaved them and tried to destroy them because they were afraid. After the going out of Egypt, Vayove Amalek. Amalek came to make war with Israel. We recently learned in the Sedrus about Midian and Bilam. Then came the empire of Babel. Then there was the Malchus Babel, the Babylonian kingship that destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. There was Mordechai Poras, Haman ve'Achashverosh. Haman, the story of Purim. Yavan Milchames Chanukah, the wars of Chanukah with the Greek Empire. Edom, who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash and sent our nation into Golus. Yishmael, an enemy of Klal Yisrael. This was all in biblical times, or the times of the prophets, or the times immediately after this. If we look into modern times, there was the Inquisition, the pogroms, the blood libels, the Holocaust. And this is just a bit. This is not all of it. Just a little of all of the wars that we've had with various nations. And it's very clear what our sages write in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, "Bechol dor v'dor ein dimaleinu lechaleseinu," that in each generation they stand up against us to destroy us. "V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyodom," and if not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would not be saved from their hands. To pose the question and to ask, why does all of this come upon us? This is not a strong question. Why does it come upon us? Because it's explicit in the Torah in many, many places. And to quote just two places, "Vim bechukeisai timasu, vim es mishpotai tigal nafshichem," that the Almighty tells us that if you will despise my mitzvahs, and if you will despise my laws, afani eses eis lochem, then I shall also do this to you. And at the end of Parashas Nitzavim, that was in Bechukeisai Chovov Tesvov, at the end of Nitzavim, Lamed Yud Ches, "Higadeti lochem hayom ki ovei teivedum." Moshe spoke on behalf of the Almighty, telling Israel, before they were getting ready to come into Eretz Israel, that I tell you today, very clearly, that if you will not keep the Torah and mitzvahs of the Almighty, ovei teivedum, then He will destroy you. You will not enjoy length of days on this land which you are crossing the Jordan today. I give witness today by the heavens and the earth that Hachaim v'hamoves nosati lefonecho, that I have placed before you life and death, habrocha v'haklolo, blessing and curse. It is in your hands, ubocharto b'chaim, and I command you to choose life. These are two short psukim sentences in the Torah, but in the Torah and in the Nevi'im and the prophets, it is repeated so many times that one can hardly count it. All that has happened to Klal Yisrael is explicitly prophesied in the Torah and in the Nevi'im and the prophets. So therefore, to ask the question, why does this happen to us, is all we have to do is open up the Chumash and the Nach, and the answer is there. So that's not a question. To ask a question, why is it that the punishments are so severe, and even more, why is it that when these punishments are brought upon Israel, shuv ein mavchin ben tov lara ben rosh ha'tzadik, that we see that not only the guilty ones are persecuted, but even the righteous? Tzadikim, shleimim, great righteous people, great chachomim, even children who are innocent? This is a very good question. This is a very strong question. And a similar question was asked to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, to the Almighty himself, by the angels at the death of Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara brings us in Menachos Dav Chav Tes Amud Beis. Actually, it was that the angels by Moshe. That Moshe heard there was going to be a great sage who would understand facets of Torah, even those that he didn't understand. And he asked to see the sage. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a vision of him, and this was the great Rebbe Akiva. Then he asked, let me see what will eventually happen to this great giant. And he saw the Romans torturing him to death. And Moshe came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, Zu Torah v'zu Schora. This is the Torah and this is its reward. And the Almighty answered, Shteik, be silent. Kach Olo b'machshava lefonai. So have I decreed. Which means that there is no answer on this that we are capable of understanding. Do not seek answers for this last question that we asked, because there is no answer. Moshe was not wise enough to understand the answer. Therefore the Almighty told him, Shteik, be silent. Kach Olo b'machshava lefanai. This is how I have decreed. But all that we're speaking about, this does not answer as to why various nations have become the tool of destruction. If the Almighty has decreed that this is what should happen to his nation and to his righteous people, so has he decreed. But why have various nations become the tool of this decree, become the instrument of destruction? And it does not suffice to say that this is part of his decree, that this is what he commanded. He commanded that Haman should become a tyrant, or Hitler, Yimach Shemai, should become a murderer of millions, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not command these things. The world is free. Men decide their own fate. Fate is not determined for them when it comes to choose between good and evil. The Rambam writes in Hilchis Tshuva at the end of Perek Vav, Sheaf al gav shegozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yavodim v'inu oisom, that even though the Almighty decreed many years before that Klal Yisrael will go down to Egypt, they will go down to a land which is not theirs, and there they will be enslaved and afflicted, legozer al ish yodua. But he did not decree who shall be the instruments of this destruction, of this evil. Who should be the individuals that execute this decree? Elahidia Shesef Zare Osid Lishtabed Be'eretz Lelahem. He merely made it known that the eventuality is that they will be enslaved in a land which is not theirs. V'chol echod ve'echod ma'esen ha'meitziri v'ameirim li'Yisrael, and every one of the Egyptians that raised a hand against Israel, ilo rotz lohor alehem harashus biyode, if they did not want to hurt any Jew, they had permission. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives free will to every individual. So therefore, we cannot say that these nations are fulfilling the decrees of the Almighty. So why is it then that we find such hatred amongst many of the nations? The answer to this is a multiple of answers. Every nation had its own motive. Every nation had its own direction. We cannot speak this evening about all of them. So let's concentrate this evening on the exile which we now find ourselves in, that the sages refer to as Golus Edom, the Roman exile. Our Beis Hamikdash was destroyed by them. They exiled us, and it's their influence which is the foundation of the modern world that we find ourselves in today. This is the seed of Esav and Amalek, who was the grandson of Esav. And let us mention three reasons. The Torah tells us, in the beginning of Parshas Toldos, Vata Rivka Ishtai. Rivka, the wife of Yitzchok, conceived, and she became pregnant. Vayisreitzatzu habonim bekirbo. And as she was carrying two sons, and these were the sons that would be Yaakov and Esav, there was a great turbulence in her womb. So much so that she didn't know what was going on. And she went to ask, what's happening? And Rashi brings the sages, tell us, there already was a quarrel. There was a quarrel and a war going on between these two. And the Maral brings out that from here we see, even before birth, their natures were entirely contrary to each other. One was the antithesis to the other. And what were they fighting over? They were fighting over the inheritance of both worlds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, this creation. He created a wonderful physical world, and together a wonderful spiritual world. And they were fighting for control of these two worlds. Now these two individuals were to become great and mighty giants. As it states follows, Vayemar Hashem, she went to seek prophecy. What is happening? And the prophecy came back. Shnei goyim bevitneich. These are not merely children. These are nations. Goyim. And these are not merely nations, but it's spelled geim, from the word geus. Very proud, noble nations. Ushnei leumim. And not merely very proud, noble nations, but kingdoms, mighty kingdoms. And mimei ayich yiparedu, and when they come out of the womb, they shall separate. They shall go in totally opposite directions, because they are contrary to each other. Esav was to become the giant of the physical world. This world is his world. He will have enormous success in this world. And like we see from his seed, that the Roman Empire spread from one corner of the world to the other. And Yaakov will be the giant of the spirit. When it comes to good and evil, when it comes to truth, Titein Emes LeYaakov, when it comes to building a ladder from this world to the next world,
Yaakov will be the giant and the master. So two great masters were in the womb of Rivka. And they both wanted everything. Being great kings, and two kings cannot rule under one ground, under one crown. They both wanted everything. And the prophecy continued, Ula'om mil'om yamotz, lo yishvu b'gedula. One will draw its strength from the other. They will never reign equally. Kishezeh kom, zeh nofel. When one rises up, the other falls. When the other rises up, then this one will fall. And Rashi brings, like it states, in Yecheskel le nismalet sur ele michurbonei shel Yushalayim, the great cities of Esav, the capitals of his world, will be built through the destruction of Yerushalayim. And the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that someone met Eliyahu and he asked him, when will Eliyahu come with the Melech HaMashiach to rebuild Yerushalayim? And he answered, when the walls of this great city, they were standing outside the city of Rome, when the walls of this great city fall and they will not be rebuilt, that's when Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. Ula'om milom yamotz, that one will draw its strength from the other, lo yishvu b'gedula, they will not rule together. Kishezeh kom zeh nefel, when one rises up, the other falls. Ushezeh kom zeh nefel, and when the other rises up, this one falls. And therefore, we find always that Esav wanted what Yaakov had. He had this world, but he wanted the next world also. He wasn't satisfied with the physical world. But a king wants to reign and rule everything. And therefore he always would try to show his righteousness that he also was the master of the spiritual world. Now we go to a second point. When it came time to give the brachos, the blessings, to Esav, Yitzchok wanted to give them to Esav, and Rivka intervened and gave them to Yaakov. And when Esav found out about this, he said, this is in Toldos Lamed Vov Vayemer, Achi Koro Shma Yaakov, now I know why you called him Yaakov. Vayakveni Zeh Pamayim, Yaakov means heel, he has grabbed hold of me by the heel twice. Es Becheirosi Lokoch, he has already taken my firstborn birthright, Bihinei Ato Lokach Birchosi, and now he has taken my blessings also. And a little later it states in Posuk Mem Aleph, Vayishtom Esav es Yaakov al habrocho asher beirachei oviv. And Esav hated Yaakov on the brocho, on the blessing which his father gave him. Vayeme Esav beliboy, and Esav said in his heart, Yikrivu yeme evil ovi vahargo es Yaakov ochi, that soon my father will die, and then I will kill Yaakov, my brother. Added to this antithesis of Esav to Yaakov, now came another sino, another hatred. He took my birthright, and now he has taken my brochas. And for this I hate him, and I will kill him. What was the birthright? When Yaakov came, Esav came, excuse me, and he was oyev min ha-sodeh. He was fatigued, and he was hungry. And Yaakov was making a nezid adoshim. He was making a porridge, a soup from beans, from lentils. And he made a deal. He said, I will give you from this soup, but you must sell me in return your birthright. Esav was the oldest. The sages tell us that Esav asked, what is this birthright? And Yaakov told him, being the firstborn, this gives you spiritual privileges. The firstborn of every family was the Kohen. The firstborn did the Avodah. He was the one to serve. This gave you a spiritual leadership. And Yaakov said that this person is not fit. He's not befitting for such spiritual leadership. Therefore, I will make a deal with you. And Esav agreed. But there was more to this deal than met the eye. What Yaakov was doing, he said, I'll give you this world if you'll give me the next world. You have the birthright. That's the spiritual leadership, the spiritual privileges. What does that have to do with you? Esav that day had just come in. The Chazal say that he committed all of the Averis Chamuras, all of the severe Averis. He had murdered, and he had committed acts of adultery. He says, what do you want with this? This is not your world. Your world is the physical world, Mishmaneh Oretz, from the fat of the land. You happen to have it because you came out of the womb first. But it is not your world. I will sell you what I have in this world if you will give me what you have in the next world. And to Esav it was a good proposition. He needed food at that time. He needed chayeshah, he needed a temporary life. And he said, Anochi helech lomus, v'loma zeli b'cheira. I am going to die. I'm not interested in the next world, I'm interested in this world. And in this world I'm going to leave and die. So what do I need this birthright for? Yaakov, who saw beyond this world, this is what he was interested in. So they made the sale. They made the switch. And Esav was known as Edom. The Torah tells us that when he came, he said, he says, give me from that red porridge that you're making. And the Torah says, Akein Karosh my Edom, therefore his name was Edom. That seems a very strange reason, that Esav is called Edom, because he said, give me from that porridge that you're making, which is red. But the Torah is telling us something deeper. This porridge represented physical life. He needed food. The firstborn birthright, which he sold, represented the spiritual world and the spiritual life. And Esav was content to give his spiritual privileges, his spiritual perfection, for the physical world. And the physical world the sages tell us, is referred to as Edom, red. Why? Because the greatest physical force that the Almighty created is the sun. This is the Mor HaGodol, the great light. The sages tell us that the stone that the sun is created from is a red stone. Al Kain Korosh my Edom, and therefore he was called red. The brachos, the blessings, which Yitzchok thought he should give to his firstborn, and Rivka intervened and she said, he is not the one for these blessings. These are the blessings that Hashem, the Almighty, gave to Avraham, Lech lecho me'atzecho, and I will bless you. And he gave them to Avraham again at the Akedah Yitzchok, at the time when he sacrificed his son. These were the blessings that were supposed to go to the sanctity of Israel. And therefore Esau is not fit. And Yitzchok thought he must give them to Esau, because Esau was the firstborn. And he didn't know that this firstborn birthright he had already given up. And when Esau found out that now he lost the blessings, he said, he has stolen from me twice. First he has taken my Becherosi, my firstborn birthright, and now he has taken as Bechosi Lokach, my blessings. And by Yistam Esav, and Esav hated Yaakov for this. By rights, Yaakov was the one who was fit for the brachos and for the firstborn birthright. But Esav never forgave him on this. It is for this reason that Esau always, he and his children, could not tolerate when there would be great blessing and abundance by Klal Yisrael, because they viewed this as their grandfather's blessing. By nature, they look at this as a blessing which was stolen from them, and they could not tolerate when they saw a spiritual perfection by Klal Yisrael, because they viewed that this also belonged to their grandfather. We'll go to a third point. A grandson of Esau was Amalek. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bishalach, when Klal Yisrael came out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea amidst all of the miracles, it states, Vayavai Amalek Vayilochem im Yisrael Berefidim. And Amalek came to make war with Yisrael Berefidim. This was the first time in history, from the time of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the Exodus, that a nation came to make war with Israel. Had Amalek not come, the sages tell us that no other nation would have ever risen up against Israel. Why? Because they were afraid. After what Israel did to Egypt, Egypt, the greatest empire of the time, lied in ruins. After the 10 plagues and the smiting of the Egyptians, and when the whole world heard of the splitting of the sea, Shomu Amim, the Yergozu Mechiloch Hajesh Vepaloshes, the kings of the entire world trembled. No nation would have risen up against Israel. But Vayove Amalek, Amalek came. And they cooled off the atmosphere for other nations to follow. Why did they come? Why weren't they afraid? The Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayomer ki yod al keisko milchoma l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu raises up his hand. He raises up his hand over his throne to take an oath that I shall have war with Amalek for every generation. But his name and his throne is not written completely in the Torah. It is black in a letter. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein kisi shalem ve'ein shmei shalem. My throne and my name is not complete at shimoche shmei shel Amalek until the name of Amalek will be eradicated. As long as Amalek is in the world, my throne is not complete and my name is not complete. What's the explanation of this? Amalek is a kefir bi'ikr. They deny the very essence of the Almighty. The name refers to the essence of something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name refers to his very essence. And he says that as long as Amalek is in the world, my name is not complete. Because they deny my very essence. They are the Kofri. They say that there is no God, there is no Almighty. Shomoamim Yergozu, when all of the nations heard and all of the kings trembled, they said that the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, never took place. It didn't take place. The sea was never split. Egypt was never destroyed. But it lies in ruins. So it was destroyed by something else. There are many nations that maybe go up against the Almighty in a certain aspect. But the only one that goes against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a frontal attack is Amalek. And therefore he says, my throne and my name are lacking. They are not complete as long as this nation is here. They are the Kofrim B'Ikar. They deny the essence of the Almighty. Now the Torah tells us what would be the reason for a nation or a people to do this? The answer is because they want freedom from authority. They want freedom from a discipline. We find in the early days, after the great flood, states that the people got together and they built a tower, and this tower they wanted to go up to the heavens. For what purpose? To make war with the Almighty. What is the meaning of this? We're going to build a tower to the heavens to make war with the Almighty. So the sages tell us, they said he brought a flood on the entire world. We must free ourselves from his discipline. We must free ourselves from his order. We must make ourselves independent so he will never be able to bring a flood upon us again. And therefore they built a tower and they were going to the heavens to fight with the Almighty. This is the nature of a kafir. Those who deny the essence of the Almighty, this is the reason. Because they want to be freed from the discipline of right and wrong. They say, who says this is right and this is wrong? Maybe that's right and this is wrong. So you tell them, this is decreed by conscience. And why am I inhibited to my conscience? Why am I enslaved to my conscience? This is decreed by the nature of the world. But who dictates the nature? The Almighty. I don't believe in the Almighty. I don't want the Almighty. I will make my own order. I will make my own rules. I will determine what is right and what is wrong. And the Sheresh, the source of this, is Amalek. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's no place in the world for me and Amalek. Chazal say that he can tolerate all of the other nations. If they'll do tshuva, then he'll accept them. But for Amalek, there's no tshuva. You shall remember Timcha as Zecher Amalek, that you shall eradicate even the memory of Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's no place in the world for myself and Amalek. Because I represent an order in the universe, and they come to deny it. They want to free themselves from that order. For this reason, we find many things that seem to be a little strange by Amalek. For example, we find it states they were mechasfim, they were sorcerers. It states that they believe very strongly in the mazolish, the mazel, astrologies. We find by Haman. Haman was from Amalek. It states they were shtufim b'mishk of Zohar. They believed in homosexuality. These are all deviations from the order of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had set up, had created. And they were coming to overturn it. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up an order of the world that there will be a nation that will come out of Egypt. And they will go on to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. And they would be the conscience of the world. Vayoveh Amalek. Amalek came to destroy them. Actually, a great manifestation of this we find in our generation today. We have the ultra-liberals and what is called the permissive society. Why is it called the permissive society? Because what was considered forbidden till now, this movement has tried to make permitted. To permit the forbidden. And therefore, it has the label of the permissive society. Why was it always forbidden? This was forbidden. These were norms. Norms which the world had accepted. That the norms of the world dictated certain taboos. And this went generations. Where did these taboos come from? This is another discussion. But very concisely, most of these taboos were the mitzvahs, the seven mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Adam HaRishon and to Noach, to Adam and to Noach, and were taught to all of the descendants of the nations. But whatever it was, there was a certain order and discipline and authority in the world. And this was adhered to. If individuals didn't want to adhere to it, then secretly they didn't adhere to it, but they didn't try to publicly permit it. We have seen in the past few decades a new type of society which was labeled the permissive society, because what was forbidden for centuries, they tried that it should become publicly permitted. In other words, to free oneself from his conscience from his inhibitions, to free oneself from authority. So this is the denial that there's an authority in the world. This is the denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the poison of Amalek. Now we learned last week in Parshas Matos Hashem, the Almighty, told Moshe this is in Lamed Beis, Lamed Pasuk Beis, Bamidbar, and Pasuk Gimel. Nekeim Nikmas Bina Yisrael Me'isa Midyonim. Achar Te'asef El Amecho. The Midianites had come into Klal Yisrael, and they tried to incite them, entice them to Aveda, which they succeeded to a great extent, and they caused a great Magefa, a great spilling of blood. So Hashem told Moshe, Nekom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Mesa Midyonim, go and take revenge for B'nei Yisrael, for the children of Israel. The next pasuk states, Vayidaber Moshe Lom Le'mor, Lo Seis Nikmas Hashem B'midyon, go take revenge for Hashem. Hashem said, go take revenge for Israel. And Moshe said, go take revenge for Hashem. Who are we avenging? So Rashi tells us Sha'emed Keneged Yisrael Ki ilu emed Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says it's the same thing. Sha'emed Keneged Yisrael Ki ilu emed Keneged Hashem. An enemy of Yisrael is an enemy of Hashem. An enemy of Hashem is an enemy of Yisrael. And therefore Hashem can say, go avenge what they did to Israel. And Moshe can say, go avenge what they did to Hashem. In here lies something very deep. He who stands up against the Almighty will stand up against Israel. Because Israel is the Am Echad, the one nation that testifies to the existence of the Almighty. Amalek, they want to free themselves from this force. So they have to do away with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was Mida Keneged Mida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them exactly what they wanted to dish out. He said that you shall destroy Amalek, every remembrance of Amalek. Because they wanted to destroy the remembrance of me in this world. So they want to destroy Hashem. How do they do that? The ancient nations thought by building a ladder into the heavens and making war with the Almighty, they'll destroy Hashem. Amalek, the seed of Esav, understood better. The way you destroy Hashem from this world is you destroy Israel. Because as long as there's a Jew in the world, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the world, because he testifies to him. If there are no Jews, heaven forbid, in the world, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as if he's not here. The conscience of the world is the Jew. The conscience of the dictates of right and wrong. The conscience, what constantly reminds the world that there's a God in the world, and that there is right and wrong. And every act of man, he will have to account for. V'yareisu melekecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you shall fear me, you shall know that I shall extract for every act, I shall pay for good, and I shall punish for evil. But the conscience of this is the existence of Israel. And therefore, he who makes war against Israel is making war against Hashem. And therefore, Vayovei Amalek, Amalek that denied Hashem, came to do war with Israel. So we've listed 3 points. One is that there's Yaakov and Esav are totally contrary. Yaakov, his world is the spiritual world. His world is the world of truth, of good and evil, of merging the physical and the spiritual world together, of the long term. Esav is the short term. Esav is the physical world. And they made a deal, but Esav was not satisfied. He wants both worlds. He wants Israel also. And they can never rule together. When one rises up, the other falls. Secondly, Esav, in addition to this, has an additional hatred to Israel because he feels that Israel stole his brachos. He stole his brachos and he stole his birthright. And therefore, when he sees bracha by Israel, he says, that belongs to me, that belonged to my grandfather. You stole it. And thirdly, Israel plays the role of representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And those nations that are not happy with the Almighty, they do not want to be dependent and submit themselves to the rule of the Almighty, they go for Israel. As long as Israel is here, then there's the Almighty. There's no doubt that there's much truth in this in regards to the great conspiracies of Hitler and the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. As long as there was a Jew, there was a conscience in the world. There was a force greater than these tyrants. Now, what can we learn from all of this? The first thing we have to know is the sages tell us that Bizman Shona Esim Ritzeinu Shel Mokem, we are given over to the wrath of our enemies. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes his protection from us only when we do not fulfill his word. We are promised over and over that at a time when we will fulfill the word of the Almighty, then even one hair of one Jew will not be disturbed by all of the enemies that might exist in the world. This is how it was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, by Dovid HaMelech and by Shlomo HaMelech. And this again will be in the time of the Melech HaMashiach, B'mheirah B'yameinu. It states, that at the time of the Melech HaMashiach, all of the nations of the world will fear Israel. They will have the greatest fear because they represent the Almighty. So therefore, the first thing we must know is that when it comes to the hatred, to anti-Semitism, we fall into their hands when we are distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, everything that we do to bring ourselves closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our protection. Secondly, we must be cognizant that Esav is existent. And we must be careful. As long as we are in the Golos, in the exile, Esav lives. And we must be very careful how to deal with him. The sages tell us, how should we deal with Esav in the exile? We must learn from our father Yaakov. Yaakov had to deal with Esav. In Parshas Vayishlach, Lamed Beis Yutes, when Yaakov came to meet Esav after returning home after so many years, it states, Hiskin Atzmei Legimel Dvorim. He prepared himself for three things with Esav. Firstly, Ledeiren. He prepared a lavish gift for Esav in order to make Shalom, appeasement. Secondly, Litfilo. He asked for Shchuyos, for merits, for protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thirdly, Lemilchoma, Lehatzolah. He divided the camp, that if Esav would want war, then he was prepared for war. And the Chazal say this is how we must act. We must first try to make peace and to appease Esav and his kind. And we must be mispalo, we must ask and bring shuyes, merit, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection. And thirdly, last, we must be prepared for Hatzolah, to physically save ourselves, if this doesn't work. Another point, we must be cognizant, like the Chazal tell us, like we've learned this evening, that this world is not our world. Physical world was given to Esav. Spiritual world was given to Yaakov. This is not our world. And therefore we must conduct ourselves accordingly. The great successes of the physical world, because I'll say that belongs to Rome, doesn't belong to Israel. Israel will have enough in the next world. And what we must be careful not to try to take too much of this world and not in too much of an ostentatious manner in order to inflame the anger of Esav that we are walking into his territory, we are trespassing on what's his. A Jew has to be, and in particular while we are in Golus, a tzanua. He has to be low-key, low-profile, withdrawn, very modest. Because if not, then he inflames the hatred of the descendants of Esav. Not only that they're jealous at the success of the Jew, but he is coming into my world and he is taking what belongs to me. These are the brachas which he stole from my grandfather. They belong to me and therefore I want them back. And the Chazal have cautioned on this many places. One example is here in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. In Orach Chaim Zimen Tov Kuf Samech, the Shulchan Aruch is speaking what a person should do during the time of the Churban, destruction Beis HaMikdosh, that he should not live too high of a life. And it states there are certain reservations that a person should conduct himself with. For example, it states he should never take all of his beautiful dishes and set them on the table, but set a few aside to remember of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And the same thing, it states that a woman, a woman should not wear all of her jewelry at one time, but set some aside to remember about the Churban. So the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Achrayim in Simchat and Ches, "Benoshim amiskashtos b'miloi." Women that go out, Jewish women that go out during the time of the Golus, with an abundance of jewelry, gormin levadze, besides the fact that they're not making a zeicha lechurban, some remembrance of the churban, but they cause ra'us rabbis me'umesh ha'olem, but they bring upon Israel enormous evils from the nations of the world, hamiskanim bohem, that become jealous of them. If we are too ostentatious in the way we live outside, then the descendants of Esau say, "See, that's mine. He has taken it from me. We must take it back." And he writes in the Shari Tzion, the Mishnah Berurah, "V'yadua ma'ashoma Yaakov l'vlonav l'ma tisro'u." When there was a famine in Eretz Canaan, and there was no corn or wheat left, but Yaakov saw that there was corn and wheat in Egypt, and the sons came to Yaakov and they said, "Lama tisra'u? It is true, we still have corn and wheat left, but still we should go down and buy some." So they said, "Lama tisra'u?" Rashi brings, "Lamutira atzmechem bifnei bnei Yishmael bnei Esav kilo atem seveim ki ba'esav shah idayin hoi lehem tefua." Why should we show ourselves off to Yishmael, to our Arab neighbors, and to Esav, and to Esav, our other neighbors, that we have and they don't? Even though we have and they don't, it is better that they should think we don't have either. So let us go down to Egypt and buy. Lama tisra'u? Because we are only asking for trouble. We are inflaming their jealousies and their anger. A few years ago, I was in New York, and I came into New York just a week after there was a national Agudas Yisrael convention in the New York mountains. And my Rebbe, the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Mordechai Gifter, was the main speaker. So I asked someone who was there, "What did he talk about?" And he said, "This is what he spoke about." He says, "Halavai, Jews should have everything. Enjoy it, but behind the curtains. Enjoy it, but close the curtains when you enjoy it. If you're going to enjoy it on the street, then it brings Jews into great danger. Loma tisra'u, because we are showing ourselves off in front of Esav, in front of Yishmael." And he said, because when Esav sees the Jew has, he says, "That belonged to my Zayda. That was my grandfather that Yaakov stole from him. And therefore we must go take it back." So this is something else that we must learn from this. And another point, Eva. The sages in many places in the Shas, in Masechta Baba Basra, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, say that there is an Iser Evil. A Jew is not allowed to entice or to incite hatred of Goyim or of non-Jewish governments when we are in the state of Golus of Exile. And there are many places where the sages permitted Isuri Darabonan and even Isuri Daraisu, were prohibitions which certain things we are not allowed to do, Midrabonan or Minatora. There were many places where the sages permitted us to do them, lest they would incite hatred by certain enemies of Israel. And on what grounds? Because of Sakonas Nefoshes. Because if the enemies of Israel are incited, this can bring to the spilling of innocent blood. Now this is something that was second nature by the Jews of a few generations ago. They grew up with this. They knew this all of the time. They lived under the Tsar. They lived under communist regimes. They lived under blood libels. They knew what the those who hated Israel, what they could do with the smallest alibi, the smallest alilah. And those who in the Oriental countries, in North Africa, will tell you the same thing. Unfortunately, the Jews of modern generations are not cognizant of this. They feel, look, this is modern times, it's not ancient times. Today there's civilized governments, stable governments, authority, law and order, democracy. But we must realize that there were stable governments then also, and there were democratic governments then also. Germany also was a democracy. Hitler came to power in a democracy. And there was law and order. And many of the great sages of our generation have taken note and have made their opinions known that we're too careless in our conduct. We're not careful enough to be low profile enough to not to avoid, not to attract too much attention in order not to incite governments or descendants of Esav. And it was not long ago that the great Gaon Ramesha Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, permitted an Iser Daraisa. He permitted something which was forbidden min HaTorah, because he said that if we don't do it, it can bring Eivor, it can bring hatred from the Goyim to the Jews. And young rabbis wanted to tell him what we just mentioned, but this is certainly doesn't apply in America today. And he said to the contrary. He said the danger is more today than it was then. Why? Because in a Russian village, if something happened, who knew what happened outside them? It was contained. He says today, if there is Cholila, heaven forbid, there's an Alilah. If some enemy of Israel wants to make something of something, anything that takes place because of mass media, within 24 hours or less, is flashed around and around the world. The whole world knows about it. So now, he says, in his time, you had to worry about bringing fellow Jews of the village into danger. He says, now you have to worry about bringing Jews throughout the world into danger. Who knows, your act cannot be a justification for a Russian commissar to put to death or send to Siberia how many Jews? Or who knows, your act cannot be a justification for some Shah in Iran or Iraq to kill another few Jews? Can you take this responsibility on your shoulders? This is what he told these young rabbonim, and this is what he paskened. And his son-in-law, when he was here a few years ago, told me that you can't imagine, he said, the strong stand he takes on this. But he doesn't even want to enter into discussion. He says, you're dealing with life and death of Jews all over the world. So this is also what we must be cognizant and we must realize. And even in Mili D'Shamayo, even when it comes to mitzvahs, naturally a Jew must do what he has to do. But it was the conduct of the great Jews of the last generations to be modest, to perform mitzvahs quietly. Yiddish, it was called Stillehed. They did what they had to do. But they didn't go out of their way to make a great pirsum, to make great publicity over it, to perform all the mitzvahs right in the eyes of the non-Jew, lest there'll be the Zera Esav, the seed of Esav there, that he will become inflamed, that this is Yaakov. Yaakov wants to show he's the master of the spiritual world too, and so on. This was always the conduct of the Jew. And therefore we must take this very seriously and listen to the Eitzot, to the counsel of Chazal. Anti-Semitism is not a pleasant discussion. And Tishu B'Av is also not a pleasant discussion. It is a Bechiya L'Deiros, the mourning of the generations of the Jews. But in Yirtzeh Hashem, we hope that Bekorov, very soon, our days of fasting will be turned to days of Yom Tov. And then will be the time of great publicity, of great pirsum, of great pumbia. Then will be the time when it states, V'ro'u kol ami ha'oretz, that all of the nations of the world will see the Jew. V'yoru mimeko, and he'll have great fear from him. Then will be the time of Yehuda. Yehuda, where Malchus reigned, Yehuda was the one who always went first, who always dwelled in the east, because there the sun would come up. The sun was a king and he was a king. Then will be the time when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and it will be an aura, light, for Klal Yisrael, v'zu beis tefila lechol ha'amim, and for all the nations, b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.